My name is Jason Spies with Building the Bakken and Coffee and Capitalism. My son Otis and I would like to take this moment to thank everyone involved with the Bakken Shale Play. From the trucking companies to the oil companies to the hotel operators to the restaurateur. It takes a big team to keep this economy moving. And my son and I are happy to be a part of it. You see, I'm running my 9-year-old son's company right now. Because in 20 years when he's ready to take over, the Bakken will still be a world-class shale play. And our company will become a second-generation business. Hold on a minute, am I running my grandson's company or my great-grandson's company?
Welcome to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. And what a fantastic program we have in store for you. We hear from entrepreneur Doug Burgum about coal country and the importance of building energy infrastructure. Plus, Adam Spellhaug with Peterson Farm Seed talking about precision agriculture. Brian Jorvig with Botlink. Joseph Nicholas with Pedigree Technologies. And Chase Iron Eyes talks Native American issues. All that plus much more on today's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio. My name is Jason Spies and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
My name is Otis, and I am the host of the Kids in Capitalism KidCast. Let me tell you about one of our sponsors. Hatch Realty is in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Call Eric Hatch or anyone on the Hatch Realty team with any real estate question. They want to be a resource and connection for you. That's Hatch Realty, 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hatch Realty in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Hatch Realty, tell them Otis sent you.
The 4th Annual Bakken Barbecue is happening June 17th at 4 p.m. at the West River Ice Center in Dickinson, North Dakota. Live music from the Blue Ribbon Band, beverages from Armies West, and brisket, chicken, ribs, and much, much more vying for this year's Bakken Barbecue Trophy. The cost is $15 a person, kids 10 and under for free, and all the proceeds go to benefit Make-A-Wish North Dakota. That's the 4th Annual Bakken Barbecue, happening June 17th at 4 p.m. at the West River Ice Center in Dickinson, North Dakota. That's the 4th Annual Bakken Barbecue. Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. In our next segment, we talk with Doug Burgum, entrepreneur, philanthropist, and gubernatorial candidate for North Dakota.
Back in 2012, when oil prices were at $100, the Bakken was a frenzied pace. People were paying $15 for sandwiches. They didn't care. So flash forward a few years, and people are starting to tighten their belt. But the infrastructure is being done out there. You know, how important is the infrastructure in Western North Dakota to the overall state economy?
Well, it's absolutely essential, and it does, as you say, it starts with public safety. I've been going to Western North Dakota for 45 years. I've been a landowner in Slope County for 20 years, and you know, one of the sad things about some of that infrastructure came after that tragic accident where the three young rodeo guys were killed, coming home from a rodeo one night. Well, two of those three were the sons of one of my neighbors, out in Slope County. I was at their funeral in the Bowman Rodeo Ground, saddest funeral I've ever been to in my life. Two-lane road, and at night, it's a dangerous situation. So, I think it's great that we've got infrastructure out there, not only to support the industry, but also to, make sure that we're taking care of public safety. So one thing we have done well with the surge funding, because the surge funding, which again came from an entirely different bucket. We're not talking about the general fund where we really have let spending has gotten away from us. But in the surge funding, which was the strategic infrastructure and improvement fund, that was money that came from oil extraction, oil production taxes that was intended to go back to those oil producing counties, and spending over $1 billion, giving it back to communities with local decision making, local control is exactly what needs to happen. And the only thing that my running mate, Mayor Brent Sanford, who Mayor of Watford City, would, we might have said, hey, let's have the formula. So instead of sending the money to Bismarck and sending it back, let's just keep more of it locally in the first place. So that local communities are always going to know where to spend the next dollar in infrastructure, because they're there. And those are decisions that can be made in real time as opposed to every 2 years in Bismarck. But, you know, we are in much shape. When the industry returns and oil prices return, you know, we're going to be in much better shape in Western North Dakota than we were before because of the infrastructure that we have put in place.
All right, final question for you. Is anything that I like to give the guest the final word? Mm-hmm. That way the questions aren't framed by the host or anything. Anything that you wanted to add?
Well, I think we haven't talked about coal, and so let me just
Coal.
Let's talk about coal because, you know, coal is super important in North Dakota. Back when I had a chance to work on initially and then later chair Vision 2000, which was a statewide economic development effort. Mm-hmm. You know, when we were doing that, I remember, you know, poring over the economic data of North Dakota, and the two highest GDP counties in the state were, you know, our two coal producing counties. You know, I mean, the main ones, you know, Beulah, Hayes and Center, Underwood, I mean, that whole area was where we're, you know, which is the heart of coal country. And still is. I mean, there's 12,000 jobs in the state that are dependent on coal. 80% of our electricity comes from coal. We've got reliable. We've got some of the lowest cost electricity in the nation, and that, you know, it's super important. And here's again where we've had a administration in Washington, D.C., which has really had an anti-coal agenda, mm-hmm. is what they've had, and now we're faced with a presidential election where, you know, we got a we're going to end up with Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump. And Hillary is anti-coal, anti-fracking, and on her environmental stuff, she's really bad for agriculture too. And so again, I mean, it would be devastating for the North Dakota economy if we're hurting right now. I mean, we have to do everything we can to elect a Republican into the White House next fall and have a pro-energy, pro-business leader in the White House. I mean, what a relief with that would be, you know, for North Dakota. And it's why I endorsed, you know, Trump when he's going to be the winner of this thing, without hesitation, because again, having a business leader in the White House who's pro energy would be great for our state. The alternative, Hillary, would be a disaster. And so, you know, charge ahead, go Trump, and I'll do whatever I can to help him get elected.
A lot of people don't understand that. I think it's like 75 to 80%, if not more, of North Dakota energy is powered by coal.
Yes.
And when you take away 1 megawatt of coal, 1 megawatt of wind doesn't replace it. It's like 10 or 20 even times. It's not the same. It's not, right. You know, and I don't think a lot of people understand that.
No.
So anything you want to say to the oil producing counties? Just what does the gubernatorial stance mean to them, I guess?
Well, I hope that they all understand that they know how I understand exactly how important energy is in the state of North Dakota. I mean, over 50% of state revenues coming in have come from the energy industry. Mm-hmm. And we can't, you know, education, healthcare, you know, flood protection, law enforcement, you know, anything that we're doing right now in the state of North Dakota, we need to tip our hats and say thanks to the people that have worked to develop the energy resources in the state. And so people can know that not only will I be a champion for energy in the state, but also that Brent Sanford, my running mate, part of the reason I picked Brent was because, you know, he's been on the front lines. I mean, he's fourth generation, you know, Watford City, McKenzie County individual, and then he comes back and he's been there through the boom, and now he's been there through the downturn, and he understood that not only do we need, you know, great jobs, we have to build great communities. And if you look at what's been accomplished there in terms of, you know, not just the infrastructure, but, you know, daycare, affordable housing for teachers, the new hospital that's coming, you know, the rec center, the new high school. I mean, when Brent moved home to North Dakota, there was, and his daughter was born here, there were 6 kids that in her age group that were born that year in Watford. There would have been 6 kids in her class without the Bakken. Now there's 120 kids in her class in the Bakken. You know, and so, I mean, you know, what he's seen, you know, going through this thing, and it's been 4 decades since we've had anybody in the lieutenant governor, the governor's office, you know, that's got a, you know, directly from an oil producing county. And so that's why, you know, I picked Brent. I mean, like, because I was like, hey, we got to have somebody who's lived through it, who understands this, you know, directly, and has, you know, they know the effect that's had on their community, on their family, and Brent's been involved. He's been working, recruiting, you know, oil companies to headquarter and, you know, get, you know, their employment base in Watford City. I mean, he, you know, he understands it. So that was a key decision. I think people can look, that was really the first decision to get to judge somebody on is, you know, about, you know, how is this, you know, how is a guy who's a, you know, a business leader, how's a business leader going to view the Bakken? Well, the very first thing I did was I'm going to the Bakken and I'm getting a guy to be my partner. And that guy happens to also be a CPA, you know, because part of this is I got to have somebody who understands we're in a fiscal crisis at the state level. I need a partner that can help us, you know, manage our way through the budget challenge we're going to have. So he's the perfect partner.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Jason.
To listen to the full length interview with Doug Burgum, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit cafecapitalism.com. That's cafecapitalism.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network.
The Real American Jam, a concert benefiting the fallen soldiers of North Dakota, July 15th, 16th, and 17th, Buffalo Gap Guest Ranch west of Medora. Joe Diffie, Corb Lund, Ned Ledoux, Bart Crow, and more will be performing. Tickets available now at realamericanjam.com. Camping's available. Call to reserve a spot, 701-623-4200. The Real American Jam, for the fallen soldiers of North Dakota, July 15th through the 17th, Buffalo Gap Guest Ranch. realamericanjam.com and buffalogapguestranch.com has complete details.
Hey folks, I'm multimedia journalist Jason Spies, and the host of Building the Bakken Radio and Coffee and Capitalism. Traveling across the Rocky Mountain region and the upper Midwest has introduced me to many new people, landed me in exciting places, and created lifelong connections. And there's one place I want to tell you about today, and that's the Lodge at Deadwood. It is without a doubt my favorite place to stay in the Black Hills. In fact, not only is it my favorite, it's pretty much everybody else's. They're a three-time recipient of the best hotel, best casino, and best overall restaurant in the Black Hills. So if you're planning a conference, maybe a weekend getaway, a wedding, whatever it might be, I truly invite you to check out the Lodge at Deadwood and find out why they're consistently voted the best hotel, the best casino, and the best restaurant. Now listen, if I didn't believe that the Lodge at Deadwood was the best place to stay in the Black Hills, I wouldn't be doing this testimonial across our media network, which spans 5 states and 30 plus radio stations. And I feel very confident when I say the Lodge at Deadwood will exceed all your expectations. Check them out online today at deadwoodlodge.com. That's deadwoodlodge.com.